Smiling Faces the Podcast is a Defiantly Me production. To learn more, visit them on Instagram at Defiantly Me Productions.
Friends, we will keep you posted on what happens with a man who, listen, is brave enough to say that he understands how important it is to make a woman feel safe and give her space to be the greatest version of herself. Like, yes, please.
Damn near pulled something sprinting to say yes to that man. I was like, quick, type yes.
Not a hammy. You didn't pull a hammy, did you?
Damn near. Damn
near. Give him a rose.
He hey, deserves.
Pay for it.
Right. $9.99 here.
I'll pay for it the week. I don't care. Just please let me talk to him immediately. Oh, God. The bar is so low.
Welcome back to episode 25 of Smiling Faces, the podcast. I'm Victoria Dunn.
And I'm Jess Anguiano, and we are executive producers of Smiling Faces, our hit show about two girls who discover they're dating the same guy while working at a toxically positive spin studio.
On this podcast, we provide you with unfiltered conversations about dating, heartbreak, revenge, and living your best life.
You know, yeah, let's... I know I'm always commenting on how I'm living my best life, and I am today. Today, feeling strong, feeling good.
Gorgeous. Okay. Honestly, I think there's a wind that has happened because just from Tuesday, when I talked to a friend at Run Club, we were kind of lamenting over how we don't know a soul doing well. And then as of literally yesterday, talking to my best friend back home, she had a great day. I had a great day. You're having a great day. Mike, are you having a great day?
Okay, yes,
Mike, he's ruining it. Everyone's doing like better. Look, I don't know what happened, but I love it.
I'm going to be very honest with you. I would not call what's happening right now to me a great day, but I'm still living my best life.
That's all we ask.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Put those rose-colored glasses on, baby girl.
I have some somewhere around here. I never really...
Of course you do.
Yeah. Of course I do.
This is from the same person who had the perfect outfit for me to wear to an ugly sweater contest. And I crushed. Yes, oh my gosh. Like, as soon as I uttered the words, I'm going to an ugly Christmas sweater party, you went, come over immediately.
Come over. Come here. I have the perfect. And it is.
It was perfect.
Oh God. Literally, it has two different ways of lighting up. So you have to turn two different switches on to light up. It has feather ruffles around
boa
the
all
hem.
Around the bottom.
Yes. Oh.
It was like this giant, and it was like hot pink. Like, it's not even in traditional Christmas colors. It was wild. I walked into the party.
That sounds horrendous.
Oh, it was wild. When I walked in, everyone went, Victoria wins. I was like, yep. Damn right I do.
Automatically.
Yeah.
Correct.
They didn't even finish the contest. They're like, never mind. Shut it down. Victoria won.
That's
like, where did
straight.
You get this? It's like, my friend Jess had it. She has that on the ready. Well, your friend's got.
That's right. Okay, can we talk about that for a second? And then we're going to update you on the show, I swear. But can we talk about, I want to talk about friends on the ready, resourceful. Sometimes it's like, oh, you want to have quality humans in your life because they lift you up and make you feel good. Yes, thank you. You know who you are. Those people are listening right now. I love those folks. They are my circle. They are my people. You two are my people. But can we talk about our friends with the resources?
Listen, that is helpful. Somebody that has, well, it'll be my Smiling Faces moment, so I won't jump on this one. But there's people that you can just call upon, and they have, it's basically lovingly, perhaps the hoarders sometimes who keep everything. Or it can be the people who just had an illustrious career of different jobs, and so they have a broad skill set.
I am feeling also targeted right now.
No.
Because
it's not like the illustrious job career. Well, I mean, yes, you've had multiple like different jobs, but samesies. But I think there's something to be said for having a myriad of different jobs, because then you've got a bunch of skill sets. Also, mm-hmm. what I was going to say about having different jobs is that you basically have, if you leave on good terms, you have a cavalry of people you can call upon for things you can pop into. If I still keep a good rapport with them, I've got access to a lot of bathrooms when I'm stuck in traffic. And that's important.
Oh, that is everything. That is,
I've popped in a lot to places I used to work at. I'm like, I used to work here. It's cool. Can I pee?
Yeah. Jump in. This, I used to work here. I'm hungry. Can you feed me? Like, I like that. I like, you know, any Starbucks, just roll on in. I used to work at Starbucks. What are you doing with their day old pastries?
You know? Right. Honestly, the service industry people talk about running a city. The way I used to have trades on trades with people, I would be at a coffee shop and the girls that were across the street at a hair salon also worked at Rumbles. They're like, hey, I'll get you in a class if you want to work out at Rumble. I'm like, bet, I work at SoulCycle. I'll get you in a class at SoulCycle. We were all just trading things.
That's fantastic. You know, friend of the podcast, Chris Jupitz, who is a Renaissance man and has had a myriad of jobs himself. He is someone I constantly call on to be like, Do you have mason jars? Do you have any kind of, especially kitchen supplies? He has all sorts of like cocktail stuff or tools. He's got everything. He's like, yeah, I'll be right over. Yeah, let me bring that by. And he lives right up the street. It took me 4 years, but I finally got him to take a key to my place because you have to have that person, right? You want that person, the resourceful Renaissance person to have a key to your place to be like, I just punched a hole in the pipe that runs up the back of my shower. I need you. How fast can you get here with some duct tape?
Did that really happen?
It happened in Denver back when I lived in Denver.
You punched a hole in your shower?
I mean, with a drill. So
I was like, who are you with? Your husband?
Oh, yes. The ex-husband. Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Emphasis on the ex. Yes.
The ex-husband. We were hanging a television monitor on our bedroom wall, and the bedroom wall on the other side of it was the shower pipe, the fountain that, and it was hot water. It was the hot water pipe, the fountain that came out. It sprayed the entire bedroom. We had to pull all of the bedding off. We had to pull the mattress out because it was wet. So we had a big, beautiful balcony and we pulled our mattress out onto the balcony so it could dry overnight because the mattress has to dry inside and out. Otherwise it would be.
Sure does. You're going to have a moldy issue.
I have to tell you, the number of things we did to that apartment. One night we fell asleep and there was chicken in the oven baking and it smoked up the apartments. Don't ask questions. It smoked up the apartment so bad because it burned.
How can we not ask questions? First of all, I thought you were real highfalutin. I thought you were putting a TV in your shower. I was like, how did you puncture
the
thing? And then the second thing that I feel like I have to ask a question for is, how did you guys go to sleep with baked chicken in the oven?
We forgot about it.
You weren't preparing for dinner?
Great question. Great follow-up question.
Listen, I will say I am an ex-wife and I did get divorced, but it wasn't because of the sex life. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that.
You're lucky you weren't in the 50s. You would have gotten punched for burning the chicken back in the day.
Jesus. Big facts. You never burn the chicken.
Honeymooner style, baby.
Yeah, no. Wow. Listen, so noted. On that, we're talking about resourceful friends. We're talking about your circle, not only being like energetically and emotionally resourceful, lifting you up, but also just having all the tools, supplies, and knowledge. And that kind of brings me to our update today on Smiling Faces, because I think it's really funny that Victoria got a lovely notification from our fiscal sponsor that said, hey, I'm going to need all of your expenses and everything you spent money on last year, because all of the finances for their Smiling Faces runs through our nonprofit umbrella, Inclusivity Media. And these are our fiscal sponsor partners. And they had to file taxes. And they call Victoria. Please tell us all the tracking you had to do.
Oh, man, what a time. Because they also were asking, one, they gave us obviously reports on as money came in from our past events, from the What She Said comedy night, from our fitness event, from just random cash donations and things. So we had that. So Jess found an amazing expense tracker. So we've been working together on putting all that into this spreadsheet, and it gives you updates. You can have categories, but we inserted all that for our income. And then we genuinely made different expense tabs for each of our events. We could see how much was spent on each event. So we could be mindful of how much money we're not blowing, but using, and how much each thing is costing leading up to the actual production of the show. So we could see in real time, this is how much we spent on this event. How do we do in comparison to how much came in? And so we had those things, which was helpful. But yes, it's supposed to be within 90 days of the start of the year. I forgot that. So they did have to email me, and they were like, so, you know, per the contract that you signed, we're supposed to have this information. I was like, damn, that's crazy. You're right. So they did give us an extension, which thank God. And I combed through everything. But luckily, we haven't gone crazy. Also, we're really good about keeping track of our expenses. But I will say, we haven't taken a lot out of the pull from the show for stuff. We've actually been paying a good amount of things from our own pockets for some stuff. So there were a few things that we paid for from the Smiling Faces bucket of money. And so just so that they knew that we still had money left, it wasn't like there was a hole or something, I made sure to notate what came out of that bank account in red for them. But they love the expense tracker. And we got all that to them. I gave them receipts of everything. I basically turned billing history of recurring things like our website from Squarespace, MailChimp, things like that. I just pulled the whole billing history and turned that into a PDF and just zipped the whole file together. And I was like, here you are, beloved. Take all of this information. I think I was missing only one receipt because it was smart and final, and I didn't think to keep that.
Well, and I was, first of all, oh no, not smart and final. Although I remember, didn't we buy coffee there? I remember going to smart and final. I think it was coffee or fruit.
I think it might have been fruit because I know it was that. And then because I had the Target one also. Thank God. Well, sorry, Target. I know. But like, I know there's things with Target, but apparently you know things that are better about Target. I don't know. But pre maybe DEI stuff with Target, they have obviously, if you log in through your Circle, you can see your purchase history in store, which helps. So anytime you make a purchase in store or online in your running tab, they have all that. So because we did have to run, remember, because the first AC had a very special diet and I had to run to the store and buy different food.
Our first AC was keto, right?
Yes.
And all he wanted was a box of chicken.
Yeah,
and that's all he wanted. He had brought all this equipment. He was really great to work with. We really enjoyed working with him. But he had not informed us. You ask, what are your dietary restrictions? I ask all of my crew members that because we'll talk about atmosphere on set at one point. Today, we're talking about budgeting and accounting. Super fun. But our first AC brought all this equipment. And so he couldn't eat what we had ordered for lunch because I didn't have any notification about people that were gluten-free. I had accommodated vegan, I had accommodated vegetarian and pescatarian, but I didn't accommodate for gluten-free because no one said they were. So he was like, oh, I can't eat any of that. And he was like kind of a big ripped dude and he was like needed to eat. So we went and bought him, I think, 2 pounds of chicken. I think we just were all like, here's some chicken.
Just went to Target. We made it a combo of who needs to go to the restroom because we also used Target as our restroom location. So it was like, who wants to go to the bathroom? And I got to buy chicken. And that was our run.
Listen, all of this is pre-production and all of this is producing. And I want to go back. I love that we've diverted off of Target receipts into giant buckets of chicken. I want to divert back to accounting. And I'll tell you why, because something that I've discovered in production, producing, making your own content, and also when I was running my own business as an actress, there are two things that I found to be the only way I could be successful as a working creative. And please, everybody, stop what you're doing. Write this down or bookmark it or reshare this
pull
with
over.
Yourself so that you can remember. Pull over. Don't do it. Yeah. Stop
take
your
a
run
screenshot
for a second.
Of your, yeah. Take a screenshot of your screen so you know the time mark and then
that's
keep
right.
it pushing.
Write it on your hand. So the two things you need to run a successful business, and let's never forget, creating content is a business. It's always a business at the end of the day. It's always about the money you spend and the money that comes back in. You have to do two things. You have to make a schedule and you have to make a budget and track your expenses. You have to. If you are out there in the world and you're an actor or you're running your own creative business and you're editing YouTube videos or you're a cinematographer out there or you're a wedding photographer, I cannot express this enough. The first thing that I always ask people when they're like, oh, I really want to work in the film industry. I want to be a director. The first thing I ask them is, how many hours per week are you spending on directing? And that includes a lot of things, by the way. Includes
it
reading
does.
Up, understanding the industry, researching movies, watching Netflix, seeing what's going on. It also includes creating communities, networking, writing so that you have something to direct. It includes editing. There's a lot that you can include in your creative endeavors. But
it's
I always
the same
say,
thing that my, oh, sorry.
Oh, I always say, are you tracking your schedule and how many hours you spend? And so many people are like, oh, when they add it up, they're like, maybe like 7 hours. I'm like, well, then how do you expect to make any money? You have to treat it like a full-time job, 40 hours
yes.
a week or 20 hours a week. And then you make part-time money. That's fine too.
Something. But yeah, there's to piggyback off that a second, because my acting school used to say that too. So a lot of people, when they say wow. they want to be an actor and they talk about do something every day, but yeah. like if you want to start small, a couple of times a week that make you feel like an actor. And that can be a lot more things than you think. Because if you're watching TV, you're intentionally watching TV shows that you could realistically be cast on that you want to yeah. be in. So it's research. It's going out and going to an art museum, taking a walk and like studying people. There's different small things that are free that you can do to get better at your craft if you're doing it intentionally and smartly. Because all of that is input and information to feed you and grow you as an artist.
And if you're being intentional about it, that's that well, work, that work begets work thing where the energy you're putting towards something comes back to you. I will say the same thing. People fight me every time when I tell them this. You have to schedule hours to work so that your job as an actor, or your job as a director, or your job as a podcast producer, as I'm sure Mike can speak to, is trackable as a real business. And the other thing that you have to do is you have to make a budget at the beginning of the month, tracking everything you think you're going to spend money on that's towards your business. And then at the end of the month, you have to go through and balance that budget and say, what did I actually spend? Because taxes come every year and you have to write things off. You have to collect your receipts. You have to track it. And it's so much easier. I have these templates, which is why we are even talking about this, which I'm happy to share with you guys. When Victoria and I created this document for tracking our expenses for Smiling Faces, she sent this document over to our nonprofit umbrella, inclusivity
the
media
fiscal sponsor.
Our fiscal sponsor. And they said, can we get that template? Can you send that to us? Cause we'd like to share that with other people. This is the thing at the heart of it all. We're sitting here saying you have to do the business things, which people are like, I'm bad at it. Everybody's
That's one
bad
of the
at
things
it.
That makes
skill.
Me crazy.
Yes.
No, you have to be, especially
Develop
if you're
it.
An independent creator. I'm sorry. You don't, it's not like you have the budget for a separate accounting person. So you're going to have to do all that yourself and you're going to be reckless with it. If again, like Jess is saying, if you're not actually taking mm-hmm. into account how much you're spending on things, because if you're going willy nilly through it, it's so easy to overspend on stuff because you don't know how much you're actually putting into it. So
yes.
things are always going to come up. But if you're not mindful of, I don't know, subscriptions that you're paying for and, I don't know, the covering lunches for work meetings or whatever, it gets so inflated very quickly. And you have to be mindful of that. You can see, yeah. And then you see, oh, this isn't a sound business right now. Because if all I have is money going out, what am I doing to bring something in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, as an independent guy, as an independent podcast producer, there's a lot of things like all the subscriptions, like, I mean, everything comes out of my pocket, essentially. And with the exception of, you know, when I'm being paid to produce a show. So it's like a lot of the stuff that I do, I have to pay for myself. Like you just mentioned a receipt. I took my producing partner, podcast producing partner, to lunch today. And I have to remember to grab that receipt out of that kava bag over there.
Yeah,
right. Because I need to make sure we put that in when we do taxes. Cause we did a lot of things like that this year. Riverside is a cost. Yeah. Hosting a podcast, like how people were listening, get it. There's a payment for that. So we just kind of calculate those things, what we pay monthly, do it for over 12 months. And that's kind of how we do it. But you kind of have to do it yourself at that point. You have to show up.
Luxury of being, quote, bad at it. So you're just not going to try because you're actually, that's going to cost you more to not just learn.
Yeah.
And I would venture to say this, because I speak often to actors about the business of acting, because I had a lot of success as a working professional actress for a long time. And something that I constantly feel like I have to remind people, even if you're paying an accountant to manage your budget or manage your expenses or do your taxes, you still need to understand where your money is going in and out of, because no one's going to run your business better than you. You're the CEO. So if everybody's like, oh, I wish I was Leonardo DiCaprio with managers and publicists and all that.
I don't.
Leonardo DiCaprio knows how to run his business. That's why he's not broke.
Right. It was like, well, also you got to watch that, because sometimes you see it a lot. Tale as old as time. There's people who get really popular and then they just think, oh, that's my money person. And they just handle it for me. And some of those people are not trustworthy.
Wesley Snipes.
Yep. Wesley Snipes. And either rob you blind or they're like, oh yeah, that person handled my taxes for me. No, they're not.
Sean Kingston and his mama.
Hello.
What?
Yes. They're going to jail.
They're going to jail.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that man didn't pay no taxes.
None.
You gotta pay your taxes.
You do. That's the thing. But so many people, that happens consistently where they're not, they just entrust blindly a money person because they think they're handling all the things for me. You still need to be tapped in. But also I think the thing too that people think about, this is a slight deviation, but I think the conversation came up around when The Color Purple came out and Taraji went talking about how much money goes out, even as a celebrity. She's like, none of the stuff that I do is free. So me, I have to pay a stylist. I have my agent. I have my manager. I have a publicist. I have security. I have a trainer. Like, there's so many things of expenses that add up to it. And then also someone handling your finances. So by the time you get paid, so much of that check that you imagine, oh, she got a multi-million dollar deal, 60, 70% of that's gone from paying other people.
Yes.
It's gone.
Yes. That's why
you have to know your money.
Because you have to do the things that are going to put you in the best position to be successful. Like, no, I don't want to pay monthly $50 for this service, but it's what's going to make me be successful. It's going to help me get more business. So you kind of have to go, all right, well, these are the necessary things. And if you don't have it, then you have to find a way to produce it in a way, or put yourself in the position to produce it in a way that people will go, okay, this guy, he's professional. He's doing the professional things. It looks professional. My brother was like, oh, I'm going to produce a TV show because I'm producing a TV show with y'all, right?
Oh, yeah. So all of a sudden, everybody else want to get on it.
Because it's so easy. And he was like, well, I'm just going to do it on an iPhone. I was like, no, bro. I was like, even if you want to do a web series, it's got to look like it can go on TV, even if it's on the web.
The bar.
So you have to do all the things, hire the people, hire a DP. And he's like, well, do I need all that? Yes. Because if you want to compete, you got to look like you belong there.
Yes.
Fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
Because I think some people that are not in the industry, when I talk about doing a web series, they're like, oh, okay. But I think they have that thought of just what you've seen sometimes of shows where it is just an iPhone, not a new one, like an older iPhone, and there's no mics, there's no like actual lighting. The amount of movies and things I've seen like that, and it does take you out of the game, because that's the first thing that people that are professionals look at is the story could be amazing, but if it's lit weird or if the sound is bad, you're dead in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes, he went, what about Blair Witch? I was like, if you think Blair Witch was only shot on a camcorder, that's you're adorable. An idiot. You're a dumb. I was like, get out of here, bro.
Yeah, I think people don't realize all the back end of stuff. Yes.
Here's the most important thing. Let's say that when we add up all of the expenses for, Smiling Faces, and we know every month it costs around $215 a month to keep up the MailChimp, the website, the time and energy, you know, covering
the fees for business accounts, because not a single business checking account is free, and y'all got me fucked up for that.
Exactly. So because of those expenses, you have to know how much it costs. So let's say that Smiling Faces costs us $200 a month to run at this time. You have to make $600 a month to make that make sense. You think, no, I just have to make $200. No, you need $200 to cover expenses. You need $200 to cover the following month's expenses. And then you need $200 to pay yourself, because your time is valuable. And when you start doing that math, you start to get that money starts to come in. Opportunities come in to bring in more money because you know the number you need to hit. So when I was an actress and I needed to bring in $4,000 a month to cover all my expenses, I would say, okay, how can I bring in, I don't know how to do math. For
me,
12,000?
The baby.
No.
We literally just talked about this too. We're like, you have to know. We're like, I don't know math. Me either.
I have an excuse. I have a math learning disability. So you got the wrong one.
Listen.
I just didn't get it.
Okay.
I have to focus so hard. Although I will say, when I learned statistics, I got a D. But when I had business statistics, I got a B+. And my professor was like, I don't understand how. I was like, I don't understand the concept. But when you give me applicable things, I got it. You can't just tell me stats, like statistics, fam, just because.
Fam, people out here taking trigonometry. Like, what? Lucy took trigonometry in high school, and I was like, why? Why did you take trigonometry in high school? At any point, do you use trigonometry in your everyday life? She was like, no. I was like, so why did you need to learn it? Why did I need to learn any of those things?
Bragging rights.
They're playing
bragging
us.
Rights.
They're playing us every day.
That's right. Wait a minute. Hold on. We have to talk about bragging rights, because something insane happened to you this week. You saw an ex person on television.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. You're right. The way I froze.
Did that shit hurt a little bit?
It was just strange, because it was almost like a drive-by, you know, because
I think it's bragging rights.
I'm from the suburbs. I have no idea what a drive-by is like.
You're not familiar?
Just to fill you in, I'm from the suburbs.
Honestly, same. I'm just talking cash shit right now. But like, it was so weird because, you know, I love reality TV and I go there as an escape from my life.
Beautiful.
And my friends have been telling me to make a TikTok about this, but I'm also a little terrified of doing it, because I feel like whenever anybody does this, then the comment section, because people are vicious on the internet, and they're like, oh, she's just a hoe trying to get a quick her name out there, attach herself to this man. I'm like, but I really did. I know him.
You know what you should do? You should just like it. I like all negative comments. I just heart them.
T.
All negative. Okay. I just heart them. Oh, this guy sucks. Like it. Oh, this guy has a like it. I just like all negative comments.
Who out there is saying this guy sucks to you? I will find them and I will dismember them. Who is there saying they dislike you, Mike? Who? I want names. I want them. I want a list. I want addresses. Give them to me.
Yeah, it was just when I was doing the other podcast, I had a movie podcast a while back and we were on TikTok and people were saying, this guy doesn't know, da 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 da. And I just liked it. I like all the negative comments. I love it. It brings me so much joy to just heart it that you went out of your way to say some negative shit to me on the internet.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to love that you did it. You wasted your time because it doesn't affect me now.
Actually, the only thing it does do is help because it's engagement. Idiots. Because I definitely had a YouTube video that I did where we did a spoof of WAP, but it was vice ass president. And that got, I think, like 11,000 views and like a lot of, I'm going to say it, a lot of MAGA people were going nuts in the comments and were just like yelling at it constantly like, this is gross. No wonder liberals are going to lose, blah, blah. And I was like, you're only getting me more engagement, fools. I love it. So I wasn't mad.
Keep it rolling.
Right. But circling back, yes, I was watching The Valley and there's a guy on there, Jax. This is all, The Valley is a spinoff from Vanderpump Rules for those who don't know. And one of the guys, Jax, was married to a girl, Brittany. They're going through a separation right now. And he was upset because while they're separated, Brittany was apparently sexting with and sleeping with a guy. And Jax was upset because he said, how could she do this? Like, that's my friend. And then he said his name and they cut to footage that's kind of darkened and they do a spotlight on the friend. And I was like, oh my God, that's Hoops. And if you've been listening to the pod, I've talked about Hoops in the past and how I hangmanned him because he was acting reckless and did a complete change up on me. Hoops is on The Valley and apparently he's a plot point.
And side note, because I think it's important to delineate, when you say you hangmanned him, what we do here on the podcast, when we meet a man on the dating apps and we get their name, you get your name, your first name gets
Give
saved
him a nickname.
In the phone.
They get a nickname. Not your real name.
No.
Hoops. And it's a decent length of name. You don't want to go too short, but you don't want to go too long because if it's too long, they have too many chances. If it's too short, it kind of limits them.
Yeah.
Hoops, I feel like five was good.
Hoops,
five
Target,
letters is good.
Bag of farts was long. Bag of farts
bag
got
of farts
a lot
was
of,
long, but he got bag of farts after he was already ex-nay.
That's true. That's true. And every time that he make a mistake or they piss
disappoint you
off. Disappoint you, they lose a letter. So in Victoria's case, Hoops started off strong, H-O-O-P-S. Then it got smaller and smaller every time he pissed her off until
ho was
he
tough.
Just became ho.
Ho in the phone was tough. And then it dropped down to H. And we ain't talking about Meghan Markle's Harry. We talking about just a regular, degular H. And then my man was gone because he pissed me off to the highest level of pistivity because he completely changed up his behavior. And what's crazy is there were times when we talked because I, from past damage, get very sensitive to change-ups in behavior. And I call it out immediately because I don't play that shit. And he went from calling, FaceTiming me consistently to then doing what I called wellness checks. So instead of talking to me for an hour on the phone, he then would call me and go, hey, what are you up to? I was like, oh, I'm just watching blah, blah. Oh, okay. Well, I'm ahead to do this. So I just wanted to see what you're up to. I'll call you later. And I was like, what was the point of that?
Ew.
So I called him out and I was like, hey, you're moving different now. What's going on? And he hit me with, which at the time was dark, but even in my spirit, I didn't fully believe it because he said, I'm going through a lot right now because my best friend just died by suicide and I found out that my daughter had cancer. And I was like, whoa. First of all, that's a lot of things in a week. Yeah. Secondly, I go, I'm sorry to hear that. I do think from what we've talked about, because we had long conversations and we shared a lot. So I was like, I thought that we were in a place where you could at least share that with me because you've told me other things that were quite personal. So I was like, sorry to hear that though, but okay. And then it just dissipated because I was like, in my spirit, I didn't believe him. Cut to the after show of The Valley because apparently this man was community reality dick and slept with Lala Kent and with Brittany, Kentucky Muffin is what they call her. He slept with both of them. And Lala said in the after show, this man told me on two different occasions that his mom died.
Ooh, shoot. What a
And I was
punk.
Like, I knew it. I knew he was lying.
Listen, Here's the sad thing. We all believed in him in the beginning days. And yeah. What a classic case of just knew how to play the game just right to get.
He did. He had pretty privilege and he knew it, though, because he was tall. He was like 6'6", I think.
And wait a minute.
Former basketball player. Yeah.
I forgot. A mutual friend of ours went on a couple dates with him as well and was like, oh, abort that mission. But it had been too late by that point. He had already been down.
I was already invested. Yeah. But he had lost letters by the time she shared that.
Yes. Correct. Yeah.
So we were already kind of in a place.
Yeah. I was already downhill. So his best friend did not commit suicide, nor did his daughter have cancer, nor did his mother die twice. And he's doing just fine on reality TV.
I mean, he's not a main character, though, is the thing. He's he's not even like a friend of, but I don't think he's even going to be on there anymore because in the after show, they dragged him. They basically called him a grifter. So he's not going to get popular from this because they dragged him to Kingdom Come. The other part that was weird, because I think Brittany said it, because I thought, oh, this is fine, because he's clearly playing himself as he's a single dad and he lives alone, because he would FaceTime me from the house. And there were times where he would talk to me and I would hear his daughter in the background and he'd be like, oh, I'm talking to a friend right now. So I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. Tell me why. Brittany said that he would FaceTime her too from their place, but he was living with his kid's mother the whole time.
Oh my God.
I think it's conveniently waited till she wasn't home to FaceTime bitches. Like, what are you doing?
What a loser. I mean, the bragging rights is that you dove deep out of that situation as fast as possible. And I think it's bragging rights. Are you even a true resident of Los Angeles until you see someone you dated on a reality TV show? I still have not reached that
I hope
point.
That doesn't happen to me. That would be really weird.
Well, now it would be real crazy.
Very, very weird. Yeah, crazy. Right now would be
awkward. Yeah, super
unless
awkward.
Lucy gets super. Well, it's not used to date because you're actively married to her. I was like, unless Lucy gets on That's something, right. But yeah, y'all married. So
it'd be real awkward for me.
The closest I ever got to some sort of famous person was a guy who I dated that had a residency at the Magic Castle. Yeah. Not a magician, a full-blown Magic Castle member. And that was my claim to fame. So this is the bragging rights. Yours was on reality TV. Got dragged.
I've also honestly had a touch worse. I won't ever name him, but I used to have a thing with an actor. And when I was trying to get over him, I was talking to a different man and he went to watch a movie that said actor was in, and I was like, I don't wanna. And he was like, oh, come on. He's like, I love this movie. Like, I haven't seen it in so long. Let's watch it. And I was like, no, I really don't wanna watch it. And he was like, oh, come on. I was like, I'm gonna go. And so I just left.
Oh, you did leave?
And never explained why.
Oh my gosh. You know what? You know what? It doesn't get better than this. I think I have no good dating stories. I'm back on my shit. I've got Bumble running. I've got Hinge running. I opened up my dating age gap, whatever. I have opened it up. I've reached a little bit older and I'm getting some very interesting messages, which I will share all next week, or maybe even in a lovely smiling faces moment.
Old men are a different breed.
They are a different breed, especially when
they're a different breed.
When they say I've never been married and I have no children, I'm like, why?
Why? You should say that to my brother then.
Oh. Wait, and I will say this though, because there was someone we didn't keep the conversation going. There was a guy, like, he was adorable, but his profile was such a green flag, I had to say yes to him. I'm going to tell you why. So I wanted to read this on the pod. In his Hinge profile, it said, I recently discovered that was the prompt. His thing was, I recently discovered that the goal is to make a woman feel so safe. Best compliment I've ever gotten is that I make someone feel safe, to be the version of themselves they want to be. That is a warm place. I seek to provide that now.
Please tell me the conversation has begun with this man.
It did, but then it kind of fizzled. We're going to see. I know. I was kind of bummed. We got into a whole talk about Sinners, then it kind of just, it didn't progress from going on about how great that movie was.
See me after class. I'm going to help you spark this back up. No, I'm going to help you spark this back up. We will keep you posted, friends. We will keep you posted on what happens with a man who, listen, is brave enough to say that he understands how important it is to make a woman feel safe and give her space to be the greatest version of herself. Like, yes, please. More of that.
I damn near pulled something. Damn near pulled something sprinting to say yes to that man. I was like, quick, type yes.
Not a hammy. You didn't pull a hammy, did you?
Damn near. Damn near.
Give him a rose. Give him a rose. Hey, pay for it.
Right. $9.99 here.
I'll pay for the week. I don't care. Just please let me talk to him immediately. Oh God, the bar is so low. Okay. We have come to my favorite part of this show. It is what this whole show is built on, our smiling faces moment of the week. What have you grinned and bared it through? I cannot wait to hear. Please, Victoria, tell us, what are you grinning and bearing it through this week?
Child, I'm grinning and bearing it through how I showed up to record this podcast today. I thought that I had my stuff all together. All my accoutrement was packed. I thought I came here and I opened up my bag and there were 2 of 5 items I needed.
You just walked out the house all confident, didn't you?
Did.
You were like, strong, yeah, I got everything.
Strong and wrong. I had the microphone, but not the cord to connect the microphone to the laptop. I didn't have my headphones. I didn't have my camera. I had a laptop, a half a microphone, a light, and a dream. It was a mess.
And as your producer, what am I supposed to do with that?
Mike, I was like, hey, Mike, I'm ready to record. I got a string, some half-chewed bubble gum, and a dying monarch butterfly. We good?
Mike goes, turn your ass around and go home.
Mike did tell me to go home. He's like, just go home.
I was like, just go home. But I'm certainly not MacGyver. I can't just jerry-rig a whole situation from you, especially if we're not in the same room.
Yeah.
But you know, it's okay. We all have our days. God.
But look, we made it work. Now my video's probably fucked, but yeah, we made it work. Cause Jess, talking about resourceful friends, had a gaggle of cords and things at her disposal. She was going through boxes and boxes of cords. It was amazing. So thank you, Jess, for making this happen.
My house is destroyed. I've got every box I've ever owned open, but boy, did we find some cables. Oh, yep. That was a good one. Mike, what are you grinning and bearing it through this week?
I mean, not to bring the vibe down, but grief. We lost our Freya like last month.
Yeah.
It's been tough. It's been tough. Grief comes and goes. Grief is a funny thing. She was such an integrated part of our lives. So her being here is a huge, huge hole. So that's kind of what we grinned and bared. Cried on Wednesday, like the whole deal. I saw a picture of her and pure tears. But no, she was such a huge part of our life that it is very glaring. Like it was usually me and her at work when I came to work, like at my desk, because I work from home, obviously. And now it's just me. And people go, well, what about Odin? I'm like, no one cares about the cat.
You're like,
man.
I don't fuck with Odin.
Odin don't fuck with me, man. He don't fuck with me.
Odin doesn't need you like Freya did, you know?
Yeah.
The love.
No.
Freya brought
so much light. Yeah.
All of that. Yeah. All of that. No, she was a great dog. So I think we're both fighting a little bit of grief this week. But, you know, we're just trying to keep it pushing. Think of the good times. But grief is a funny thing. It comes and goes. And I'm sure people are like, it's just a dog, but not to us. She was our kid.
Yeah, no.
Because we can't have kids.
Yeah.
And so she was our kid. So and we didn't get enough time with her. I think she was only 7. We only had her for 7 years.
Yeah.
So it was, it's hitting us a lot harder than we probably anticipated. But like I said, I wasn't trying to bring the vibe down or the whole deal, but that's literally what I grinned and bear it through.
Yeah.
This week.
That's fair.
And we're sending you guys so much love that
Seriously, because I understand. Gosh, that hurt does. It lingers. It stays with you. It's never the same. I think people,
loss of a
people
pet.
That don't have pets think that, oh, it's just a dog or just a cat or just whatever. But no, they actually have their own personalities. They bring their own energy, their own light. And you can't replace that. It's like telling someone to have another kid just to replace their child. Like it's not the same.
We're sending you so much love. Big hugs. Yeah. Big hugs.
And Jess. I know. I was like,
don't try to leave the club without right. Sharon also, either. She tried to move out.
She was like, all right,
before Sharon.
That's what I also tried to do. Is I was like, oh, she's trying to have a moment, let it linger. That's why I was like, use a soft voice. And Jess, your smiling faces moment.
Well, this week. So I dropped last week. I dropped the little bomb. I definitely was seeing somebody for a bit, and it was going really well. And then I got dumped last week, which was devastating. And
well, I wouldn't really call it a dumping.
It was more like
he made a fuck choice. Sorry, I don't know how much you want to go into. He made a fuck choice and forced your hand. I wouldn't say he dumped you. I say he did some fuck shit.
Thank you.
And forced your hand.
Yeah. And here's the deal. Like, the hardest thing about having to step away was growth, right? I'm grinning and bearing it through growth, because when you're seeing somebody early days and they make that kind of mistake, it's like, I'm looking for something stronger, you know, something stronger than this. And we could get more into that at another point. We like to be unfiltered here, and I will share what's I'm not crying through it. But that was this week. This week was like super intense at work. Lots of kind of big career steps that I got to take this week. Big deal. A lot of hard work. Lots of showing my face, lots of showing the best version of myself. And boy, I was not feeling it. So I would say an entire week of being like, ooh, do not let another man ruin your opportunity. Stay strong, woman. Stay strong.
We don't let them ruin the bag. I've been saying this. They don't get to ruin the bag.
That. No, not the bag. And you know what? The good ones don't, right? They just lift it up. So yeah, they make the load a little lighter. Okay, let's tell these fine people where they can see you, Victoria, actress, comedian extraordinaire, in person. Where can they see your show?
Yes, my next show will be my improv team, which is Idris's Elbas, under the collective Affirmative Reaction at the Broadwater Theater, which is under the hit comedy umbrella, if you will. Love hit comedy theater. It'll be June 7th. That's a Saturday at 7 p.m. So come check us out. Do some improv.
Be there or be square. Although being square, you know, it's kind of cool these
square
days.
Pegs. Sarah Jessica Parker. It's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I also want to say
Huey Lewis says the same thing. It's hip to be square.
It's hip to be square.
Wait. Oh, never mind.
We haven't dropped a lyric in a while.
I was thinking of Huey Freeman. I was like, he never said that from Boondocks. I was like, that's not right.
Huey Lewis in the news. Jeez.
Listen, here's the deal. If you love being square, actually, no, I want to do a little tease. We've got a little tease. We have a very special event that's coming up soon in June. Hot, new, exciting event that we're going to be hosting. I can't give you too many details right now, but I cannot wait to drop the info on this really cool event that we're hosting. And last but not least, we have a special announcement we are going to be making. Hang tight. I'm not going to say the word merch. I'm not going to secretly spout off any kind of potential opportunity to share your love for smiling faces, but I'm not going to say those words. I'm just going to say.
Sounds like she's letting the cat out of the bag. Yeah.
If there's some burning desire in your heart to get your hands, just hang tight. We've got some hot, sexy announcements coming your way with new information. Yeah. Tune in.
Yeah.
Stay strong. You know where
look
to
look for the wait list.
Yes.
Yes.
Look for the wait list, fam.
That's right.
We got a wait list coming when it comes to the merch. Just keep your eye on it.
The good
keep
eye.
Keep your eye on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Your good one. Your
yeah, the good eye. The good eye.
And while you're figuring out which one of your eyes is your best eye, make sure that you open both of them and follow us on social media. And if you're already following us, as we know you are, share, send a follow, click Leave on a link, download. People doing it all the time. We are growing and we Say love more. Our fan base. Welcome, welcome.
Yes.
You can find us on Instagram at smilingfaces_series, at TikTok at smilingfaces_series. We're on Facebook at smilingfaces_series, no underscore. We're also on YouTube. You can find us at www.youtube.com/@smilingfaces_series.
We also have a website. Visit us at smilingfacesseries.com. Shout out to our fiscal sponsor, Inclusivity Media, and of course, our producer, Mike Bryant, and Defiantly Me Productions.
We love making sound effects for Mike. Hey, y'all, have a great weekend. Stay strong.
Live your best life.